We all know the expression, to not see the forest for the trees. By which we mean, of course, that sometimes you can become so focused on the details that you lose sight of the bigger picture. And unfortunately, Christians, it is so easy for us to do the same thing when it comes to talking about what it means to live as a Christian. We can become so focused on what Paul says that we miss why he says them. We can misunderstand the purposes of his commands. And I'm not saying that talking about the what isn't important. Of course it is. We should always listen very carefully to what Paul has to say. But we should listen to what he says without losing sight of why he says it. When we remember the what will naturally follow. But how does this happen, we ask? How do we lose sight of the why and become so focused on the what? Well, let's take one example from Paul in our reading. Verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, of course, that's a good command. Drunkenness is a sin, something that the Bible frequently speaks against. If we abuse God's good gift of alcohol and we turn it into something that he never meant it to be, that's not a good thing. But if I focus entirely on the what here, if I'm thinking only in terms of the command itself to not get drunk, and I never ask the question, why? Why does Paul say that I should not get drunk? If I do that, Christians, then I might start to think that the only thing that God really cares about here is drunkenness. That as long as I don't get drunk, as long as I don't abuse alcohol, that I'm doing what I should be doing as a Christian. Then I'm following after God. Of course, you forget, though, that anybody can abstain from alcohol. It doesn't take faith to turn away. And so in that way, I might start to think of my actions, my Christian life, as a group of actions. That as long as I do this or I do that, that is what makes me pleasing to God. In that sense, the what swallows up the why. To put it a little bit differently, Christians, we can be so focused on the specific command that our view becomes too narrow, that we lose sight of the bigger picture. It's kind of like if we had a puzzle piece, just a single puzzle piece that we were studying and we were looking at very carefully without ever considering how it fits into the larger puzzle. I might even think, because I'm so focused on this one individual thing, that as long as I keep that, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and it doesn't bother me at all if I then turn around and do something else completely contrary to God's will. I've kept the narrow command to the letter. I've done exactly what God wants me to do, and that's all that I need to do. Now, should I strive to keep the individual commands, Christians? Of course I should. They are God's good and holy will. The what is important, and I don't want you to think that it isn't. But for every what, we need to ask why. Why should I not get drunk? Why should I be filled instead with the Spirit? And when we understand the why, we will not misunderstand the what. So how do I find the why then? How do I see the reason for these commands? Well, one good way to do it in a passage like this is to look for specific words, connecting words, words like therefore or as, or for, or because. I know they're words we might normally skip over, but they're words that show the relationship between things. They are words that show us the reason why. Take, for example, the very first word of this reading, Ephesians chapter 5, therefore. Therefore implies that all of this is a conclusion, that if A is true and if B is true, then C is also true. And what we have in our reading is that conclusion. We have the C. And so if we go back then to see what came before, we can understand the reason why we should do these things. And Paul says at the very end of Ephesians chapter 4, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Notice what he says there. As God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, for that reason, be imitators of God. The what in this case, to be imitators of God, has a why. Because you have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. But do you see how that changes things, Christians? How that clears up our understanding and helps us to understand the point of the what? I mean, let's think, for example, if we only focused on the what, if we weren't thinking at all about the why, we're only concerned about the specific command to be imitators of God. If that's all we're thinking about, what would that mean? Then we might think of imitating in that sense as simply copying whatever God is doing, that we become like parrots, simply repeating things, making sounds, but without understanding. Or we become like a mirror, where we imitate someone's movement, but for no real purpose. If we're only thinking about the what in this case, imitating God becomes just going through the motions. And that's something that anybody can do. But imitating God is more than this, because of the why. Imitate God, Paul says, because you have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Imitate God, Paul says, because he has made you his children. And follow after him, because we are a new creation through his Son. Do you see how that changes things? Because it's the difference between just being a copycat and actually striving to be like someone. A copycat just repeats things, often just to be annoying. But someone who strives to be like someone else is striving to change, to become like them in everything, even permanently. And that's what we are called to do. And what better reason do we have to do that than because Christ has died for us? Let's take another example. Look for another connecting word. Right in the next verse, in verse 2, it says this, and walk in love. Well, there's the what. And if we were to stop right there, what would that mean? Walking in love would become simply something that we do, that we just love one another without any real content, for no real reason. But then what makes that any different from the world, which tells us to love everyone regardless? A what without a why doesn't tell us much. But look at the next word. As. There's your connecting word. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love, Paul says, because Christ first loved us. Walk in love because Christ gave himself up for us. Walk in love because Christ sacrificed himself for our sake. We walk in love because of what Jesus has done for us. The why shapes the what. Another example of this. Skip down to the middle in verse 8. It starts with the word for. That's another connecting word. And it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were once darkness, Paul says. You were once walking contrary to God, but now you are light because of Jesus. God has brought you to himself in his Son. And for that reason, walk as children of light. Be the Christians that you are called to be. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. That's the reason why. So that's one way to find the why in a passage like this. Another way that we can see is if we try to find the main idea of a passage, to try to see what makes everything else make sense. So ask yourself this question. What is it that these commands all have in common? What is it that ties them together? And if you want to do something like that, look for key words or key passage, key phrases within the reading, something that really stands out. And we have two examples of this in our reading. The word imitators in verse 1 and the word partners in verse 7. And these are especially important because of how they relate to one another. An imitator is someone who wants to be like someone else, who strives to be like them, to do everything in the way that they're doing it. They want to be joined to them in that way. And likewise, a partner is someone joined to someone else, who is working together, who is banded together, so that the two become one. The two words are related to each other. And now consider how Paul uses these words. Be imitators of God, he says. Strive to be like God. Run after him, do what he does, because of what Christ has done for you. You are joined to him in that way. But on the other hand, do not be partners with the sons of disobedience. Do not turn aside to those who are opposed to God, because their end will only bring judgment and destruction. And when we see that, Christians, how Paul is using these two key words, everything else makes sense. We can see the why. We do all of these specific things that he says in this passage because we have been joined together with God. We belong to him through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are not joined to the world and all of the things that the world is doing, nor should we strive to be joined to them in any way, but rather to walk in the light through the mercy of God. That is the reason why we do all of these things. And when we understand the why, Christians, we will never get lost in the what. Then we will strive to do these things not as the goal in itself, as if that's the only reason we need to do them, but we will strive to do these things because of what God has done for us in his Son. You have been saved through Jesus Christ. Therefore, walk as children of light, both now and forever. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has forgiven us through Jesus, we give you thanks for all that you have done. Lead us to do what is good and right and true for your sake alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.